All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Elizabeth. I'm a compulsive overeater, gratefully abstinent one day at a time. So I'm going to share my story, my experience, strength, and hope in OA. And it is my story, so you may be able to relate to parts of it. You may not relate to other parts of it. So take what you like and leave the rest. So, I guess I'll get the numbers out of the way. I've been in OA since 2016. I've been abstinent 6.5 years, one day at a time. I have maintained something like 100 pound weight loss. I hadn't weighed myself at my heaviest, and I don't weigh myself now, but it's that ballpark. I describe this disease that I have as the disease of more. More food, more everything, or not enough. I don't have enough food. I'm not good enough. I don't do enough. Not worthy enough, etc. And it's also, I describe it as a family disease because there is history of other addictions in my family. The idea of getting more is something I have learned, as well as something I used to say, I was probably born a compulsive overeater, but in talking with my sponsor, I've learned, you know what? In my it's probably before I was born. So I'm a twin, and I am the tiny twin. So I was born premature. So from the moment of my birth, the idea of me not getting enough, or before my birth, was a thing. There was a lot of concern in the hospital that I was underweight. My sister was normal size. So this idea of even in the womb, I'm like, am I getting enough? Am I getting my share? And there had been a lot of concern in my childhood about me being too small. I'm the shrimp of my family. I'm the tiny one. I'm six, sorry, I'm not 6 foot. I am 5'7". I am not small, but I am the small one. So that's a thing for me. Growing up, I was, a small person. I didn't gain weight as much. I was fairly active. I was one of those obnoxious people who could eat whatever I want, and it didn't catch up to me until my teens. Along with being the small one, it's because I'm in a big family, big in all of the senses, loud. I'm one of five kids. I grew up with four of us together, and so the six with the parents. Loud, take up a lot of space, take up a lot of energy, and I learned behaviors around, well, we're going to eat the whole thing, of course, and then we might open another, and we'll eat the whole thing there. A bag of chips, it opens, eaten, probably finish the next one. A carton of ice cream would be one meal for all of us, I think. I know there's a one you could get from a certain part of Ontario when it comes in a cardboard box, so you just open up the box and slice it up. And so for a parent, finishing a bottle of wine, opening another, and finishing the whole bottle, that was considered normal as well. And there's, various different things. There's rules around food growing up, like eat everything on your plate. There's always the threat if you didn't finish it, it would be made into a smoothie for your next meal. I don't know if that ever actually happened. It's a very foodie family, very much around that. But also, we'd go through a lot of phases of very health food. And then we'd also go through phases of days with junk food, like, oh, we're gonna do something special, we're gonna do something different. And there's various behaviors that I can remember right now, looking back at my childhood, that weren't normal. Like at my friend's house, we'd have craft dinner. That's something we didn't get at my house. Junk food, we'd have dinner there. I'd go home and have dinner at my own house, a second dinner. There is a after school club where they have some snack food, and I eat an entire bag of chips by myself. Spending all my allowance money on food. So just, there's various things. I just want to share, you do things with food, you're not alone. It was also a very chaotic house, as I mentioned, there was alcoholism. And, emotions didn't feel safe. Anger was a very scary thing. I witnessed violence between my brothers. And my survival tactic was perfectionism. So trying to take care of everything, take care of everyone,
We have 15 minutes left.
Thank you. All right. So I felt very needy. I realize a lot of security needs are ones that come up in my instincts. And part of my story is abuse. So my body did not feel like it was my own. I felt disconnected from my body. Also, mental illness is a big part of my story. Anxiety, depression, PTSD, whatever you want to call it, just not feeling okay in my body, not being connected to my body, and not feeling okay in my mind. As I mentioned, as a kid, I didn't gain weight as a kid. I was somewhat active, but I didn't do team sports. I stopped taking gym class as soon as I possibly could. What happened? So about 12 to 15 years ago, I had a very bad year. Now I wasn't big to begin with, but I moved to new school, mental health completely tanking. I lost 20% of my weight over a matter of months. I ended up in the psych ward for a couple weeks, and I'm like, I'm not leaving. I like it here, getting away from my family. So that was, a very bad time. It was also when my weight was low, so it was very scary being underweight. And through that, I entered 12-step recovery. And this one, I entered for family and friends of alcoholics, and I did, 7 years of that. I got a lot of emotional recovery. I learned to connect with others. I learned self-awareness. I learned to articulate myself and to, aware of my feelings, aware of some things. I allowed myself to take up space. So, 12-step recovery taught me how to be myself. The thing is, I was taking up space emotionally. My eating also took off, through my teens and early 20s. There was some medication that involved weight gain, but also it's just, just physically, just my weight just going up and up, and I was completely disconnected from my body. I was in complete denial. It's hard. It's funny how much denial it can be when I had to buy new pants every month. But there I was, stretch marks. And at one point I got in my own space, the apartment in my mom's basement, and then it really took off. I got, and the OA 12 and 12 describes the various things we do with food very well. I got the job. I only got summer jobs so I could buy junk food. Is marriage the puzzle of how much can I get? When can I stop off the bus on my way to class? I remember house and pet sitting, going out in a snowstorm for food, and just the utter futility of going, the kitchen to couch to kitchen to couch and giving up and taking the whole container. It wasn't even this bite doesn't feel good. It's maybe the next third bite I will feel better, and it didn't work. And knowing the scary thing was giving up and eating in front of others and not caring who saw, in class or in my summer job, just continually eating and not caring who saw. And so in my 12-step recovery in this other fellowship, I was stagnant. Because this was a fellowship where I wasn't the one with the problem. So I was doing the recovery waltz, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and I couldn't seem to get past this idea, okay, I can't control this other person who no longer living with. But I wasn't getting better. I feel like I'm missing a page here. Oh, page two, okay. What happened? All right. So at one of my 12-step meetings years earlier, the same location had a poster that had been taunting me. It was a poster for OA. And so for me, I have to be bored of being miserable before I can seek change. So it was, years of being in the food and the futility and really unhappy and knowing I'm happy and Trying to switch over, oh, well, if I don't eat chips, maybe I'll just eat crackers. And then I eat so much and then my mouth hurts and everything.
You have
So
10 minutes left.
thank you. So I could not moderate. Dieting is not part of my story. Restricting, besides, trying to substitute different foods. And, one instance of a group health thing of, it's not part of my story because I was in so much denial about what my body was like. So I came into OA. And there's a newcomers meeting, which happened to be only a few blocks from my house. So that was really lucky. Turns out I'm very lucky. It turns out I'm very grateful. My city has very strong OA recovery. It has lots of different ages, lots of diversity of recovery. There's people who are, closer to my age or close to my age when I came in. There are people who came in at my age and have decades of abstinence. There's people who had come in decades earlier and have now returned, so I know what happens. I don't know exactly, but I know what happens when you go out in the food and come back defeated because I've seen it. And fellowship is so important. There's one meeting that they do in Saturday mornings, and they go for a coffee shop afterwards, and that was so powerful for feeling connected to the program. So I came into OA. From the fellowship, I learned we're allowed to enjoy food. It doesn't have to be, I also call it my sometimes painfully boring abstinent food, because sometimes that's what I need, keeping it simple. So about the food. So the meeting that was a few blocks from my house was the beginner's meeting. So I learned things like sharing my food. So I write it down and I send it to somebody. And I still do that. And I still offer other people, if you want to send it to me, go ahead. I learned the idea, which, is somewhat controversial. It's not set in stone about red light, yellow light, or green light foods. What foods can I not stop once I start, and what foods are painfully boring for me? And that's the thing where every food plan is different, because for a lot of people, almonds are a boring, whatever absent food. When my family was going through health food phases, that's what I would sneak from the cupboard, the junk food, and snacking wasn't something we're supposed to do in my family growing up. So, the idea of almonds in the mason jar is a lot like, ice cubes in the glass for an alcoholic. So, all our food plan is different. My food plan could kill you. Your food plan could kill me. We're all abstinent in whatever way works for us. In the beginning, I was texting a lot, just for today, okay, can I go half an hour without eating that? Making a deal with somebody else. There's how many hours till I go to sleep? I can make it just that far without eating these food. And this idea, this one of the suggestion is 3 meals a day, nothing in between, one day at a time. So I tried out what some of those suggestions. And I got a sponsor. I started doing some questions on the steps, so jumping into the steps. And she shared with me a photocopied plan of eating that go circulates in these rooms. And I'm like, okay, sure, I'll try that. She was very clear, I'm not a doctor, but here's something that worked for me. And it was a very restrictive one and very, very low carb one. And I lost the weight fast. I'm also young. That definitely is part of it. My set metabolism is pretty much, there's a size that I've now been for a good chunk of my life. But I didn't feel good. I did not feel good. People would look at me like, wow, you must look feel great. And I'm like, no, I don't. Also, how the hell, why, you notice I have a body? Nobody really commented on the weight, but when they commented on me losing weight, I noticed how much people see that I have a body, and I was very uncomfortable with that. Also, as I mentioned, me being underweight was part of a tide with very difficult parts of my life. And so it was a very, very scary thing to lose weight. I thought I looked like an alien. I thought it was wasting away. And I'm still struggling with that now because I am slightly underweight, or maybe not slightly. I don't know because I don't weigh myself. I just know I'm under my stabilization weight now. And it's a difficult thing. I'm ongoing working with my sponsor and my medical supports. So there's a lot of fear that goes in. You know, I thought maybe I was having strokes, I was getting dizzy. So I sought outside medical help. Turns out low blood pressure is a thing. Turns out low blood pressure is a thing that runs in my family that I didn't know about. So that explains chunks of things.
You have 5 minutes left.
Thank you. I got medical dietitian help, and it turns out I was starving myself. I was eating less than half of what my body needed. So yeah, you don't lose the weight that way. That's not a good way to do it. So we added things. We adjusted my food plan to get myself what my body needs. But of course, dietitians, you know, I know my body and my disease. You know, a dietitian might suggest something like, you know, oh, you have an upset stomach, brown rice, applesauce, toast. They didn't see me drinking applesauce out of the jar in the class, you know, in the study room. Like, you know, they know what's good for bodies in general, and I know what does work with my body and what does not work with my body. Learning to pay attention to my body. Like, I used to think it magic when people are like, oh my God, I ate some beans and it doesn't feel good in my body. I'm like, what is this? What is this magic? So learning what's true hunger. After being finally, after some invasive tests and being honest with my doctor, I discovered I have digestive issues, IBS. This year, I've been working on flexibility and strength with my body, dealing with the pain and discomfort because I have a very physical job and, you know, it's got to take care of myself. So, recovery, it's not just physical. So, one of the big things I like saying is that I have to face my stuff instead of stuffing my face. And that's really important. You know, I now have enough experience to show me that I can make it through dark times and I can make it abstinently. You know, there's been various mental health times that have been rough. 2018, the winter was pretty rough. This past year has been like a year of burnout, teaching me, or reminding me, you know, to let go, to be gentle, to slow down. You know, there's been some very stressful events. You know, a violent robbery, you know, handling family drama, abstinently. Some of you in meetings have heard me sharing about the civil unrest that was in my city last winter, you know, where there's basically truckers blocking off roads, and shutting down the downtown for weeks at a time, not knowing when harassments or violence might happen. You know, and also allowing myself to, you know, take time off of my stressful job because I was super stressed. There's also wonderful things that have happened in my life that I've been able to do with recovery, finishing school, traveling, moving out from my mom's basement, getting married in a pandemic, you know, and doing a very stressful work, very physically demanding work. So, with what time is left, little time's left, I will talk about what I do to work my program one day at a time. So, as I mentioned, I write down my food and send it daily, which is imperfect. Because I don't have a history of dieting and restricting and trying to control my food, and to with this concern around making sure I get what my body needs, I write down everything I eat. I weigh and measure and estimate calories because that is something that is helpful for me, to be honest, to make sure I'm taking care of my body. And I know it is very different for other people because for some people, that is their disease acting up. I have regular contact with my sponsor almost weekly. I also have regular contact with outside help, counseling, medical help at other intervals. I use some apps to help me with my program. So I use a mood tracker, and I've kind of added in my step 10 to that, where I add in my key character. I don't call them defects, I call them patterns. You know, like, am I being self-reliant? Am I in fear? As well as tools of recovery. You know, did I have contact with somebody? Did I go to a meeting? So I'm able to click that in as well. I also use guided meditation apps as well. Because, you know, meditation's important and it's hard. You know, when stuff happens, I do inventories around fear and resentment. And I share that with my sponsor. We call it sometimes doing step work. Sometimes I'll do preemptive step work if I know there's going to be a stressful event or a family situation, or I'll do an action plan when food's going to be a little different. So I'll share that with my sponsor. Here's what I plan to do when food is in a different situation. Sometimes I use this literature, 12-stepping a problem when something's really bugging me. This is OA approved. Going through the whole 12 steps on a certain issue. I attend different types of meetings. I go to meetings that read the OA 12 and 12 step and tradition study meetings. I go to meetings with writing time and creative time or meditative time because this year writing's been really hard when this year. So I've forcing myself to go to meetings where it's like, okay, here's 10 minutes. You're going to sit down and write.
Your best time.
Thank you. So I'll just wrap up that, I do some special focus meetings with that as well. I have a sponsor and I am willing to speak to newcomers, especially ones who are local. And I sponsor someone. Sponsors sometimes fade away, but that is okay. So to wrap up, it's been a pretty crap year, and there are definitely times that are dark or feel dark. But my life is still so much better with OA. Good things are able to happen. I know dark times don't last forever, even though they really feel like it. And I'm able to, one day at a time, not act out in food and reach for recovery, reach for tools, rather than reaching for self-destructive behaviors. Perfectly imperfect, and able to know that in the disease of not enough, I am enough, I have enough. And that is my story. Thank you for listening and being here with me.